90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. We're starting a little bit late today because it's our spring fundraising drive, and KKFI is fully listener-supported. We don't exist without you, our listeners. So for Cowtown Conversations, we have a $100 challenge, and that is Valerie Andrus. So if we raise $100, she's going to double that, and it's going to make that $100 grow to $200. So, and this is going to be for the entire hour. So from now until the time we end, right at about 9:55, we can take the time to show our love and support for KKFI. And you can give us a call on our pledge line at 1-888-931-0901. Or you can donate securely at kkfi.org. The shows that you hear here on Cowtown Conversations, you know, Democracy Now!, that's one of the ones we pay for with those listener dollars. You know, you have Urban Connections on Saturday. You have Wings. These are all shows where we volunteer our hosts. None of us here are paid for that. So we come in and volunteer our time to support you, the listeners. So by supporting us, you're supporting yourself and to keep great programming on the air. You know, we've got Larry J. who comes in after us. You know, we've got Beatitions Blues. We have other great shows that are here at KKFI that are only existing because of listener support. This morning, we're going to have Councilman Brandon Ellington with us, and he's going to call in a few minutes. But please take the time to give us a call, 1-888-931-0901, or donate securely at kkfi.org. And if you... we've got some great prizes in our prize cabinet for those that may want to donate. So if you look at becoming a, let's see, we've got, this time we've got some different things. If you're a sustaining monthly member, which is $7.50 per month or $90 one time, we've got three Koozie bottles. They're 12 ounces at, so we're going to have those. KKFI, Councilman Ellington. All right. We lost him here, so he's going to have to give us a call back. We also have KKFI playing cards. That's for $10 per month or one-time donation. So then we have the KKFI camping mug, which is $20 a month or $240 for one time. So please give us a call, 1-888-931-0901. Councilman Ellington, are you with us here?
I'm here. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm good. Doing great in yourself. So it's a fantastic Thursday here at KKFI. We're in the middle of our pledge drive, so you called in right on time. So he's no stranger to the show. We have Kansas City City Councilman Brandon Ellington, 3rd District at Large. Good morning, Councilman Ellington. Welcome back to Cowtown Conversations.
I mean, how's it going today?
It's going great in yourself. So can you go ahead.
No, I was just about to say, cannot complain, man. It's going to be a hot one today, though.
Yes, it is going to be a hot one, so we definitely need to be weather aware. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Originally from Kansas City?
Well, 3rd District, at large City Councilman. Been in office. Now I got to count. Been in office for, I want to say, 11 and a half years. Started off as a state representative, served in the House for 8.5 years. In the House, I was in leadership pretty much every year I was there, except for two. Went from vice chair of the Black Caucus to chair of the Black Caucus to Democratic Whip. Worked on several pieces of legislation. Most of it was criminal justice orientated. One of the biggest pieces that I passed up there was the removal of statute of limitations from sexual abuse and sexual molestation. And I was encouraged to come home to help organize and try to lift the consciousness when we talk about the murders, when we talk about the lack of ownership, when we talk about all the antiquated racial divisions that's been implemented policy and in some institutions. On the council, one of the things that I'm most proud of is the passage of the Office of Community Engagement, which coordinates all DOJ grants, it streamlines the 311 process, and also includes the MyKCMO app. Me and Austin Taylor has been working extremely hard to roll this out to the public, but it's open to everybody, all DOJ grants included. And then as far as community improvements, I don't know if people know or not, but you are my PIAC rep, Joseph Jackson, and through you, we've been able to modify our PIAC procedures, been able to reduce our costs and actually fully fund projects. So I'm born in Kansas City and through, and the whole thing about my service is community service.
So thank you for that, and thank you for that, environmental. Yes, I am your PIAC representative, and I will say this, you have made it really easy for me. Because the projects that we have impacted upon, and we'll talk about this first, is a lot of it the last year was safety in Kansas City. And we know crime is a big reason, but a lot of the things that you funded were improvements in parks, lighting down on the 18th and Vine, and a couple of other things that people are going to see. And for the first time in about 4 years, the 3rd District PIAC Fund is fully solvent. We're not paying back any debts from the past like we were a couple of years ago when I came on the PIAC. So this year we're going to have the first opportunity to be able to fully spend a full $4.2 million out of PIAC dollars instead of the usual about $3.5 million we were paying because of debts from the past. So that's a testament to your leadership and allowing me to look at the numbers and do things different. And also, you funded a lot of multi-year projects. So now residents at Ashland Park are going to see a splash pool like they've have out south, you know, the Lykins Park neighborhood. There's a huge improvement there. And then one of our parks that are right there off of Truce Park, you know, new basketball courts, new playground equipment, so that the residents of the 3rd District have somewhere to call their own and they have a quality park in their backyard.
Yeah. And I want to doubly emphasize this. I know you get a little, I'm going to say shy, for better lack of the words, but Mr. Jackson is literally the one that does all the research. Being on the council, you get flooded with so much information, so many concerns, so many calls, that I believe teamwork and appropriate recognition is one of the things that we've been lacking on the east side. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have such a hard time organizations collaborating with each other without being worried about who's in the forefront. And I said all that to say this. I want to be extremely clear. With the PIAC process, I actually rely on him. I rely on Mr. Jackson. But I think in government and in community, we should have that mentality where you don't have to be the star. You just work with folks. And if we actually did that in the community, I believe we would have a much tighter, better community. And again, that's one of the reasons why we're doing so many community outreach events, is because we're trying to inspire that mentality and that creativity and that collaboration.
As they say, teamwork makes the dream work, and we know the 3rd District has been blighted for so long, so it's going to take a team to improve a lot of the things that we're working on. And I know one of the things that we've been working on collaborating with is sidewalks in the 3rd District. Many people may not know that the city is under a decree from the DOJ, Department of Justice. And folks, a lot of our sidewalks in the 3rd District are in the worst shape. They're cracked, they're crumbled. And working with you, Councilman Ellington, we've been able to get a new process, and we're asking people to walk their streets and to report those cracked and crumbled sidewalks, especially where the trees have grown up, first to 311, but next to your office. Why is it important that they also connect to your office and let people know where these dangerous sidewalks or impassability for our seniors are located?
Well, now I'm glad you said asked that question. So we have an active process, and we started this when I first got elected on the council down here, where we try to track 311 calls and complaints to come in the 3rd District. It's a multi-layer system. So when we talk about the infrastructure improvements and the lack there of allocations over here, that has been historical and that's been real. So what we try to do is move and operate in real time with the departments and also with the constituents. So if there is an issue of a sidewalk, there's an issue of a high speed in that area, or any other thing that's been unattended to, we try to work through that. And with 311, I'm going to double down on the Office of Citizen Engagement. So the Office of Citizen Engagement coordinates all 311 calls now. And again, the office is new. I passed it in February, so we're still improving it, still knocking out the kinks. But in previous years, you would call 311, and there would be a delay from the department to the 311 and then rerouting out to the people that actually come out. Well, that's a delay, and that's also one of the issues that we've had with certain issues would never get addressed. I don't know who would drop the ball, but since it was so many moving parts, the balls would definitely get dropped. So via the new My KCMO app, people can actually report it on there. And again, we monitor that in real time to see when things are happening, to see when things are coming out. But the biggest thing and one of the most important things to me when it comes to resources and funding is that people in the 3rd District actually see the dollars. So again, with the 311 calls, we want people to actually see that if you call in, that issue is going to be addressed. And that's why we monitor it, and then we work with the folks, and the same with the PIAC. With PIAC, we've been able to do some unique things by trying to come up with speed bumps and spot repairs and some other stuff that we haven't seen that doesn't cost a lot, but it shows immediate repairs, and people can actually see their tax dollars working. So if you do have a 311 call, and I'm at large, so I solicit the people outside the district too. If you do have a 311 call, make sure you CC me in that email. That way we can monitor and we can call back and we can check back and forth. And so far, we've had a very good relationship in ensuring that stuff gets done.
So, Councilman, how can they contact you? What's your phone number and what's a good email address for yourself or your aide?
The best email is brandon.ellingtonkcmo.org. My number is area code 816-513-6511. I do a lot of community events. I'm just going to throw some out because I'm consistently in public. First and fourth Mondays from 12 to 2 p.m., people can actually find me at the Multipurpose Center. The fourth Monday, though, we do leave the Multipurpose Center and we go in the community and we actually canvass and we walk and we talk to people. So if they are going to come on that fourth, I suggest that you show up a little bit early. Every first Friday, I do a first Fridays at the corner restaurant on 18th and Vine, and the whole point of that is to bring in everybody. So we bring in department heads, we bring in the PIAC reps, we bring in everybody that's essential to your government. And if you have any issues, any questions, any concerns, we try to address those immediately in real time. So it doesn't matter from water to trash, streets, what have you, 311 issues. As long as there's a lot in the land bank, we can try to help. So those are definitely times that people can catch me anytime. You only have to call, just show up. And then again, the number is 513-6511, and the email is brandon.ellingtonkcmo.org.
Councilman, and there was a lot of confusion over speed bumps, but there's equity and parity, and we just have to call it what it is. There's a street in the Northland that I've driven down a couple of times that there are 4 speed bumps on one street, and there's not even housing in the middle of it. One of them is a speed bump before you get on the bridge and a speed bump after you go over a bridge. But we have to have parity in the city. I know my neighbor, her dog was ran over by a car that was driving down the street at about 45 miles an hour. I was out yesterday. Somebody came down same street at 45 miles an hour. You know, a person losing their animal is one thing. It's like losing a member of the family. But also, we have summertime now, children are playing. How important are these speed bumps to helping control speeding through residential neighborhoods?
Well, they're extremely important. And I'm gonna hit a couple of things real quick, if I'm allowed to. So with the speed bumps, obviously they reduce speed, and like you said, it's parity. When you go in white neighborhoods, you see speed bumps. You go in black neighborhoods, you typically don't see speed bumps. It's not that black folks don't want speed bumps. It's for whatever reason, the mechanism has been harder. When I started using the pie dollars to put speed bumps in, I started getting sunshine requests from the media. Now, I don't think this was a coincidence. The department, certain individuals in the department had huge issues with me doing speed bumps. So I'm going to talk about the process a little bit. Every fourth Monday, we get out and we walk. So we'll walk neighborhoods, talk to residents, actually get signatures for speed bumps. But I was utilizing PIAC dollars. PIAC dollars takes no, for a council person, it takes no signatures from any constituents or anything like that. We actually have the authority, me and my colleague Robinson, to just sign PIAC requests. So by them making, and I'm going to throw this out there too, and people will take it how they want. A lot of people aren't used to extreme transparency from elected officials, and particularly in the east side. So when they sunshined me, I guess they thought I was going to be doing something not above board. I guess they thought I was going to be trying to utilize resources for personal gains, but I have a track record of being in office, and I have a track record of never doing that. And I also have a track record of not buying in or selling out, and it's easy to see. So with the speed bumps, it created a huge media potential media scandal. They actually came in my neighborhood. I've never seen 41 walk the inner city to talk to residents about anything. Nothing positive, nothing socially motivated, nothing economically motivated, yet they want to walk and talk to neighbors and see if I actually talk to people about speed bumps. And I had no issue with that because I did. But speed bumps are important. But I want people to pay attention to the process and what is actually happening. We have misallocation of dollars all day long. But when you bring honesty and transparency, it makes people uneasy because then it starts exposing other things that hasn't happened. So I encourage anybody that lives in the third, I can't do it outside the third, but anybody that lives in the third that has issues in their neighborhoods that would like speed bumps, contact my office, brandon.ellingtonkcmo.org. We will set up something where we get out there and walk. And when you talk about the new mentality of some of these young folks doing 360s in the middle of the inner cities, in the middle of the four-way stops, and then just accelerating without concern for children in the inner city, it helps significantly in that. You see reductions in speed. Obviously, you don't see as many accidents when it comes to cars running into children. And in the inner city, you mentioned this earlier, there's a lot of broken sidewalks and a lot of infrastructure issues. And there's a lack of amenities in mile ratios, meaning there's not enough parks, not enough play areas, et cetera. So unfortunately, a lot of these kids end up playing in the middle of side streets for whatever reason. Whether that's lack of infrastructure, lack of a park around them, lack of opportunities when it comes to youth programs. So we want to make sure our streets are as safe as any other community, and we want to make sure that we're consciously creating a subconscious driving motivation where you drive slower because you know at any time you're going into a speed bump, whether that's on South Benton, whether that's on Bells, Indiana, what have you.
So, Councilman, the city recently passed a ordinance because the drag shows had gotten out of control. Mm-hmm. They were doing them downtown in the middle of downtown streets, and there's videos online posted where people can see they were doing that. Can you tell me your thoughts on that? And is it hard enough?
No, I was actually a no on this ordinance, and I was a no on the ordinance not because of the danger that we see with the side shows and the street race, because that is extremely dangerous and needs to be stopped. But I think the ordinance had issues when it came to probable cause and due process. In the ordinance, any spectator can actually be charged with a citation and charged with a violation. Well, most of these sideshows and these on-spur street racings happens in the middle of traffic or happens in the middle of a street where people are actually hostages, not everybody, but people are actually hostages as spectators. And by the language being as bland as it is, pretty much anybody can get blanketed. And I don't think that's a good thing. If you see a car pull up, I use downtown. They had a video downtown a few days ago where the car was doing the 360s, where everybody out there technically would be a spectator. So if law enforcement wanted to apprehend anybody, you could see that. Now, when we talk about unequal policing and over-enforcement, the numbers are what they are. And I believe that this would just increase the numbers of innocent people who are spectators. Now, if we just go after the driver, that's something different. But in the state, due process is important, and as a former state representative, I take all protections and legal protections extremely serious. And I give you a soft example. A few years ago, at the state, we took away the traffic light cameras fining because of due process. You can't find the car; you can find the person that's driving, but that's not what was happening. And I have a slight fear that we can see something similar with so-called spectators. Utilizing the video that you was talking about, technically that's a spectator, and that's somebody that's promoting it, even though people shoot the video in disgust. But if you shoot the video and you put it out there, you can actually be looked at as a spectator and promoter, just on the language of the law, not necessarily the intent of the individual. So I was a no on the ordinance. The ordinance does increase fines and penalties for drivers, but again, we're talking about traffic violations. So in traffic violations in a municipal law, we don't actually have the ability to create a felony. Only thing we can do is increase fine penalties, local penalties, and I believe we can only do that up to $1,000. So I don't think it's going to stop people. Obviously, we're seeing people do 360s around police officers. I think we should actually target the industry. There are certain ways that we can actually make it viable and not viable, meaning that we can partner with some of the people that do the sideshows in positive fashion. There was an individual that was doing Smoke Your Tires, Not Your Homies last year. No shootings, no stabbings, no incidents, but I believe they was having a hard time getting legal permits for secluded areas.
Well, and many people may not know, residents of the 3rd District are highly dependent on public transportation. So according to that ordinance, a person who is waiting at a bus stop and a spontaneous sideshow breaks out, so now they're filming this to say, you know, this is wrong, this is what's going on. They've went from being a spectator to a participant. They can be fine, yes. But they're just sitting there waiting on the bus.
Yes. Yes. And again, that's what made it so bad. Because of the way that the ordinance is actually written. I believe in law that we have to be conscious about the words that we put on there, because intent is extremely important. And sometimes we do things, I'm talking about elected officials, sometimes they do things because it sounds good in the media, but the walkthrough hasn't been thought about. And like you just articulated, yes, that person would be a spectator, an instigator, and a participant, depending on if law enforcement wanted to actually do something to them.
So then they're faced with $100 ticket, and they were just waiting on the bus, waiting to go to work or go home.
Yeah, and it does nothing to the driver or nothing to the person that was in the sideshow, because it targets spectators. Now, again, I wouldn't have any issue if it was only targeting the driver. Because that would be cool, but spectators... Or spectators, and again, where I live at, in between the 40s, we're all four spectators. We have cars that do 360s at 3:30, 4 o'clock. Yeah, I got marked in front of my house, and I don't support this. I'm standing outside right now looking at the marks.
Well, many people may not remember, but about 3 years ago, at the end of Mayor James's tenure in office, you would not go down Prospect from 59th Street to 63rd Street on a Sunday afternoon because the entire street was locked down and blocked down.
Yeah.
There were
yeah.
cars rolling. There were impervious car shows. There were impromptu car shows, people hanging out of cars, people doing all these different things. So the question becomes is this just an ordinance just to say we've got an ordinance? How do you begin to really combat these type of situations? You know, do you move them someplace where they can have that without it being a situation, or if not, they'll continue to pop up all over town?
No, you do. And then you target the drivers when they do it inside the city. And again, I'm just going to highlight the smoke your tires, not your homies. Just for a realistic example, the last event that I know they did it off of 31st and Basel in a large parking lot. Well, it wasn't nobody speeding up and down that street afterwards. It wasn't nobody doing 360 because they got to get it out there. And then it also merges the culture. Even when you talk about street racing, when I was younger, there used to be a lot of street racing. And I noticed that in certain areas in Kansas, they made it viable for their children to actually do that. So it wasn't driving up and down Pendero and up and down dangerous street. I do think it's an extreme danger, but understanding the law is not a serious violation. So that's why these individuals have so much gall to actually circle around PD and circle around law enforcement, because they know law enforcement at the end of the day can't do anything but a traffic ticket. Now, if the city wants to actually work to increase the penalties and guarantee that drivers actually have significant penalties, then I believe we should be working with our members in the General Assembly, because that's how you actually change the law on the driver to ensure that it's more than a traffic violation. And that's actually something we can put in our city agenda. That's something that I know that we definitely can work with the General Assembly on, and that's something that's nonpartisan. But again, that takes us actually trying to do something outside of media
sensitization.
We're trying to do something out of just media and doing something that actually benefits the citizens.
So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today our guest is Councilman Brandon Ellington, 3rd District at Large. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break. We're back. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And before we go back into our conversation with the councilman, we're in the middle of our spring pledge, and folks, we have a champions match of Kathy Peters. So if we get $100 during this hour, she will double that and make that money go even further. Kansas City is, this is your only listener supported radio station, but you all dictate and help us with the programming. Without us, without you, we wouldn't be here to be effective as we do. You're going to hear programs here like Cowtown Conversations, Urban Connections, Democracy Now. These are shows that you pay for and see if they're on the air by helping us. So we're asking you, please give us a call at 1-888-931-0901 or donate securely online at kkfi.org. So we're back with you, Councilman Ellington, and we definitely know that one of the things in the 3rd District that is a problem is crime.
Yes.
Last year, the city had a record year of murders, and we know what happens when it gets hot. Things get hot around the city. What can we do to begin to reduce the crime level in Kansas City?
I'm not going to lie. This has been one of the things that's been the most irritating to me. I don't believe that we can legislate our way out of crime. I don't believe that you can institutionally remove yourself out of crime by bringing more law enforcement and et cetera. I think reducing crime is a long road as far as working on culturalism and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. In the inner city, we allow things to happen because of culturalistic beliefs that is normal. I'll give you a small example that I did with some children. So I had some children, I asked them, I said, hey, man, if you seen somebody breaking the house next door to you, what you going to do? So I ain't going to do nothing, man. I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't no snitch. I was like, okay, so let's say he breaks in that house, and then you see him breaking in another house in a couple of days. But you don't know the people. What you going to do? Man, I'm going to watch him. I ain't going to do nothing. I said, what you going to do when he on the third day when he comes to your house? If he comes to my house, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I was like, well, you could have stopped all of that by reporting him on the first house that he broke into. Because if he broke in the first house, you should already know he was going to break in another house, and he was going to break in your house, because you don't know him and you don't know the people's houses he's going into, right? And they kind of got that. So when we talk about the culture of not saying anything, or the culture of allowing what to exist to allow it to exist, we have to separate actions and non-actions, reality and what actually happens. And when we talk about crime in the inner city, there's nothing wrong in the witness to what you see, because you expect somebody to help you in a messed up situation. If you're in a mess up situation, you hope somebody pulls over to the side of the road, or somebody gets somebody off of you, or somebody stops somebody from going in your house, or somebody stops somebody from robbing your mother. And there should be the same culturalistic understanding when we see anybody. Like, I'm just as vulnerable as them, and I need to stop that. I give you an example of something that just happened while we was on break. My neighbor came down to me because a car literally just drove down the street with nobody in there, nobody that we seen. And the car is literally sitting there right now. I'm going to call PD after I get off to remove the vehicle. But we can't just let it sit there because it's sitting there and we don't know what's going on and nobody wants to talk. So when we talk about the murders, they're interpersonal. We know this. We need to address the culture. When we talk about the shooting that just happened randomly and nobody sees anything, we need to stop faking. I can give you the gentleman that was killed on 18th and Vine that was a security officer that everybody loved. But still, nobody has came out and said anything. But when you looked at social media, people talked about everything he did, how good of a person this was, et cetera. He got shot in the middle of an entertainment district with a whole bunch of folks down there. So when it comes to crime, one of the things that we've been doing is trying to create and promote more organizations that actually address that. So, again, I'm tripling down now on the Office of Citizen Engagement. One of the things that made that so fundamental and so important to me is the aspect that it coordinates all DOJ grants. So when we talk about proactive elements or reactive elements, we can engage in that. When we talk about educational programs, STEM programs, criminal justice redesigns by neighborhood watches, community organizations that actually walk through the neighborhood that are certified, et cetera. It opens the doors for all of that. And it also opens the door for community determination. And I believe that we would not reduce crime until we have more actual ownership over programming, over resources, and over land. So that's why we fight to improve the parks. That's why we fight to increase the program funding and the redesign of where that program funding can go and come from, meaning the demographics and the programming and the curriculum all needs to be approved before we just allocate money, which is something that the city hasn't done in the past. In the past, the city would allocate money to, say, an Aim for Peace that had no rubric of how they was going to actually reduce crime, what people was going to get. And we wondered why there was no services rendered. Well, you don't go into a contract with anybody that can't tell you what services they're giving you, how those services are going to be delivered, and then you have a checklist to ensure that those services are actually coming out. But until we consistently do that, and again, that's why we're doing the community connectors. The family movie night is targeting children and families, but understanding the youth is the future, we have to start somewhere and not negating everybody else, because we still work with the older folks, still produce conscious programming, still produce resources and the whole nine. But we definitely got to grab these young cats and influence them to change the culture.
You've got a caller on line one. Caller, can you tell us what your name is and what your question or comment is for Councilman Ellington?
Yes, Rick Schaefer from Independence. And I'd like to comment, thank the councilman for the work he's done moving this right-wing city council, corporate-sponsored, to the left towards the people. And, of course, the city government, as we often forget, is a subsidiary of the people. It serves the people, not corporate power. Corporate power has no business in government. I studied early American government for years, and I know very well the issues of separating corporate power from our government. That's what our government was founded on, getting corporations out of our government. Yet we keep drifting back because there's so much lobbying going on. And one of the cash cows of corporate America, usually through chambers of commerce and the U.S. chambers of commerce, is cities, because the people are strapped. They have very little spendable income. Corporations know all this. They have hundreds of think tanks to advise them on the best way to milk money from the people. And they realize, of course, that cities across America have coffers that with endless checkbooks, because all this, these tax dollars can be harnessed by corporate power and funneled into their interests, their projects. And I'm glad we finally got rid of Troy Schulte, but he's doing the same thing with the Jackson County legislature that he did with the city council and the city government. He's sucking easy. Well, he's in fact raising taxes, and I don't have the details yet, but you can be certain because of this track record that he's raising taxes not to serve the people, but to serve corporate interest. And this is outrageous. I've tried to communicate with him. I met and spoke with one of his aides, and he wasn't very candid or communicable on this subject. But he didn't deny my comments. So to get our government back, our city government back, we've got to get corporate power out of our government completely. They have no business influencing city council and putting up campaign money for reelections.
Thank you so much for those comments. You have any comments?
Yeah,
on
I
that?
I definitely have to touch on that. He was hitting it on the head, but I want to show a slight separation with my observation has observed. In Jeff City, I was used to lobbies. Jeff City, you got competing interests. You got pros and cons, all type of people that want a law to pass, don't want a law to pass. Doesn't necessarily matter the benefit factor, it's just the benefit factor of the institutions, right? 100% right. The city council is even scarier than what I've seen in Jeff City, though. Like, people talk about Jeff City being the wild, wild west because of the lobbyists and all of that good stuff and the amount of money that used to be able to be spent up there before before Clean Missouri. But I'm actually used to the legislators having the final say. On the council, the corporate interest actually has the final say via boards and all type of stuff, which is extremely concerning. So I use our taxation as an example. The city council can literally vote down a tax incentive package. Like, no, we're not going to give free money. We're not going to do that. And then it can actually get wrapped around to the PIA and the other boards, and they can actually pass the taxation that the council denied. The same with approvals of projects and zoning laws and all type of stuff, which fundamentally makes no sense to me because at the end of the day, they're mayor appointees. So how does an appointee have more control over taxpayer dollars and the final sale of taxpayer dollars with no accountability? They haven't been elected. Nobody said that they trust them with their money, but they can literally, via the charter, outvote the council. Completely maddening. The same with a lot of the processes that I see. By being a former rep, I'm used to doing the work myself. I'm used to looking at line items. I'm used to calling department heads. I'm used to doing all the logistic groundwork to ensure that I'm solid in the position that I'm trying to present. On the council, it's kind of backwards. We get the position. Now, I do a lot of research because I don't trust information that I'm given. But if you don't pay attention, and the way that the process happens down here, we bypass a lot of steps to accelerate a lot of ordinances, et cetera, so it confuses a lot of people. And I believe that's 100% intentional. I just want to dial down on what the gentleman said, man. Corporate influence is extremely bad, but people need to pay more attention to their local government, because I'm not going to lie, me myself was actually surprised by the outside control mechanism. And I've been in office. I pay attention to local politics. I didn't know that they had that much control and influence and final say so.
Councilman, I definitely have to bring this up as we start looking and winding up. The third district PIAC hearing, the virtual one, was scheduled for next Friday, but it's June 18th. But it's going to be rescheduled due to legislation that just came about this month. Can you explain to our listeners why that hearing is going to be rescheduled?
Yeah, so Juneteenth is now a paid city holiday down here. And if I'm correct in my understanding, I believe that Mayor Tashora Jones in St. Louis City just did a Juneteenth holiday, too, in St. Louis. And I believe she may have did that by executive order. So it would actually be a recognized paid holiday down here, and that's the subject change. Councilman Robinson was the league sponsor on the bill. and I was a co-sponsor on it. But again, it's a city sponsor holiday.
Councilman Ellington, you have a busy weekend planning for this weekend.
Yeah.
Can you've got your mentoring group, then Civic Saturday, the Housing Resource there, and that's all on Saturday. On Sunday, you've got the Movie Nights in Spring Valley Park located at 27th and Woodland. Can you tell listeners about these events and what was the why they're so critical in helping the 3rd District?
Extremely critical. I'm going to start with the resource fair. Well, I got a wonderful gentleman in my district named Mr. Joseph Jackson, and he came to me and he was like, you know what, we need to do some house and stuff. We need to do a resource fair, and we need to put it together. So working with Joe, working with you, we put together the resource fair, which would be Saturday, June the 12th at the Robert Mohart Center from 12 to noon p.m., and we will have a little bit of everything in there from the home turf loan program that deals with your credit scores. Lenders will be available, and also we're targeting home renovations, again, stabilizing the neighborhoods, improving people's areas. And again, I would like to thank Joe because I work in the team. And when he came to me with the idea, yes, we need to do it. And we'll be doing several more housing resource fairs and governmental resource fairs so people actually know where their taxpayer dollars are and how to access those dollars so they're not just going to organizations or disappearing because people didn't touch into it because they didn't know it was there. The Civic Saturdays is also that Saturday. So Civic Saturdays runs from 11 into 12:30. This will be an online event. This is how I'm able to do both of them. So it'll be an online, and tomorrow will be online too. But this will be an online event from 11 to 12:30. And the reason that we're doing Civic Saturdays is that we actually want to increase civic power. The more people know about the process, what's in front of them, how to connect it, and also stories. Civic success stories of how communities organize, how communities use certain projects or certain benefit factors to do A, B, and C in the area, like you mentioned the water park. That's so Civic Saturdays is targeted towards that, and we'll be rolling those out all summer. And then we also have special guest speakers, too, so I won't always be the guest speaker. But that's the whole motivation behind Civic Saturdays, to engage Kansas City as a whole in the honest civic debate, civic conversation with all facts. Movie nights. Family movie nights is a community connector event. That's the one that we're doing this Sunday at Spring Valley Park. We'll be showing Will Smith's Aladdin. So if you hadn't seen that, it's a good movie. Bring the kids out. And the movie actually supersedes ages. So you don't have to be a kid to come watch it. You would love the movie if you 60, 70, 40, 50. Doesn't matter. But the whole reason we're doing the movie nights is to bring the community together. So we're doing them in the park. We're encouraging people to bring out their blankets. We take care of everything else. We have snacks out there, pop, juice, water, activities for the kids. But I believe the more connectivity we do as communities, the better we are. And I can give you a soft example of disparity. When I was a state representative, my district went out to Independence, Missouri. When I first got elected, I remember the conversation that a reporter from the Examiner had with me. He called me up, and he was like, how are you going to represent both districts? I was like, what do you mean? He was like, well, you come from the east side of Kansas City. How are you going to represent people in Independence? And I was like, well, I'm not sure if you actually pay attention to the demographics, but the people in Independence in my area have the same social economics of the people on the east side. Both of them are pretty much in the poor area. Both of them have horrible schools. Both of them have issues with law enforcement. Both of them have infrastructure issues. I don't think it would be a problem representing people over there, right? But he was looking at the color. And by creating community events, we can actually get past the institutional barrier of race and actually sort of examine the realistic barrier of community and culture. So, again, that's why we're doing it, and we'll have a parameter to our movies. Every movie that I'm picking will have some type of theme to it, and, again, that's cross-pollinating. And if anybody comes out and watches the movie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
What time does the movie start on Sunday?
The movie will roughly start about 7:30. We start at 5:30, so from 5:30 to about 7:30, we're going to have all type of activities for the kids, fun events and things like that. Once it starts getting dark, we're going to run the movie, and we do it from 5:30 to 10. So the movie roughly started about 7:30.
So is there any cost for anything that's going to be held on this?
Nope.
So it's all free. Bring the family in, bring a blanket and bring a lawn chair and relax and enjoy a great evening in Kansas City.
Yeah, no, it's all free. I use, and this is being transparent. I use my office budget to acquire resources so I can do this, the projector, et cetera. Originally, I was going to try to do it with law enforcement, KCPD. I've been organized with them for a year, and then they came to me and said, you know, we don't have anything. We don't have the projectors. We're not going to do the licenses. We don't have the popcorn machines. So why are we partners? And again, the whole thing is actually engage the community because I want to show cross-institutional benefits too. But that didn't happen, but we're fully engaged in doing everything that we can. So as opposed to using my office resources for weird stuff, I use all my stuff for community resources so I can put stuff out in the community.
I want to thank you, Councilman Ellington, for being our guest today. We never end Cowtown Conversations without a Community Minute. Project Elder Cool provides free air conditioners to individuals throughout the Kansas City metropolitan area who are elderly or have a respiratory disability. They will deliver and install your air conditioner in a timely manner to help you avoid the heat and stay cool and safe. This program runs from June to August. To get more information, please call 816-231-0984 to apply over the phone to receive an air conditioner. And also, Saturday, Councilman Ellington and myself will have a home resource fair from 10 a.m. to noon at the Robert J. Mohart Center, located at 3200 Wayne. Lenders will be on site that will do mortgages for those who have a credit score as low as 580. So come out, find out what city resources are available to you. Also, United Healthcare, the nation's largest health insurer, will start a new policy on July 1st that will review each emergency room visit. And if your visit is deemed unnecessary, you'll be held liable for the emergency room. So check with your insurance policy. For Cowtown Conversations, I've been your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great day. Stay safe, wear a mask, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
This is Elizabeth Anderson, and I would love for you to call and make a pledge. Because
No, Elizabeth, they need to pick up the phone right now and call. You don't love for them to call. They need to call. 888-931-0901. They need to pick up the phone and call. Why? Because it's important to keep this LGBT show on the air.
And Linda is the producer, so you need to pick up the phone. 888-931-0901. And let me tell you why. Because The 10th Voice is the only show I know like it in prime time. It's 1 to 2 p.m. Central every single Saturday, and it's a team show. So we have various hosts. Philip Hooser is the first Saturday of the month, and he does all sorts of things. You never know what Philip's going to do.
Never know.
But often it's culture, politics, social issues, it's panels. It's fascinating. The second week, which is why I'm talking to you, is the Sandra Moran Radio Book Club, LGBT, well-written books that deserve to be featured. We've been doing this since December 2015, and we're entering our third year of the book club. Then
I've been really impressed with the book club. It's been very interesting, and I've found new books to read, and it's very... I think we're getting a new listenership around the world and across the country. And that's when we need to ask to call in with a pledge right now is those people who are listening to the show who don't actually live in Kansas City, but you wouldn't have the show if it wasn't for KKFI streaming it. And if you listen via streaming to the Sandra Moran Book Club, I challenge you right now to pick up the phone or go to your computer to kkfi.org and make a pledge. Or call 888-931-0901. It's a toll-free number.
The station does look at the numbers.